Hi, everybody. Sean Edwards here with Tool House, how-to tools for parents and schools. And it is Monday, so I am going to be sharing some information with you about Montessori. Right. And really what I want to do is dive into the myths about Montessori so that you can understand what Montessori is and what Montessori is not. I touched on it, but I have a lot more to share. So I'm going to actually wanted to with you and talk about the truth behind those myths and then move on. There's actually 12 of them. So be patient, but what Montessori is and what Montessori is not, hopefully is something that you'll be able to walk away from after listening to this podcast. So myth number one is Montessori is just for rich kids. So that is completely false. Maria Montessori actually started her work of educating children and developing the methodology and the philosophy of Montessori back in the early 1900s in Italy. And a lot of the children that she worked with were just latchkey children. And it was through her observations of them that she was able to understand that they actually love learning, and then to create the beautiful materials and the methodology, and most importantly, the philosophy of Montessori, so that we could have an alternate way of educating children. Now that being said, there are many independent schools, private schools that do charge tuition, and some of those tuitions are very, very pricey, depending upon the quality of the school and the size of the school and the area in which the school is located, property values, so on and so forth. So yes, that is true. Sometimes they are pricey, just as other private schools are. However, I will also say that there are 500 public Montessori schools in the United States, or maybe even more at this point. So you can find them in Wisconsin. You can find them in Colorado. You can find them in Chicago. There are also magnet schools and charter schools that do not charge tuition. So they are public school, government funded, but what you are offered is the Montessori approach. So yes, it can be expensive. It's not always expensive, and it was not designed to cater to rich families at all. So myth number two, Montessori is just for gifted children, is again, a myth. Now, well, in Montessori environments, because of the fact that there's a 3-year age range in each classroom, and there's no limit to what you can learn. So, for example, in a lower elementary classroom, if you have 6 to 9-year-olds for second and third grade, translated, a first year student who's really gifted in mathematics can work with the older students on long division and keep moving until, you know, through algebra. So it's not just for gifted kids, but it does work well for gifted children because of that. Gifted children don't actually like to do lots of work. They like to be stimulated, like to be motivated. They love to learn if they're in their right environment. So that does lend itself to being Montessori lends itself to being an amazing place for gifted children. That is true. So children that are having challenges and struggles with language or math also thrive in Montessori. It depends. It depends upon how severe the struggle is. And as they go through Montessori, they learn social and emotional skills. So as they get older, social and emotional skills and executive functioning skills, now they're responsible, they can choose their own work, they're citizens that hope for the best for all of their classmates, and maybe they struggle a little bit with dyslexia. That's okay. So we meet children where they're at and we help them move along. It is a little bit more difficult if a child is struggling academically and socially and emotionally for them to thrive in Montessori. But a learning disabled child or a child that has a learning difference is not hindered in a Montessori school from thriving. In fact, they are given a lot of self-esteem and they feel valued and they feel capable and they feel powerful. So they typically thrive, the gifted and the children who struggle. All right. So is Montessori for learning disabled children? No. So I just explained that. It's definitely not for learning disabled children. Unfortunately, schools that maybe are not as well managed as others will tend to retain children that at the higher levels who have challenges academically for two reasons. One, because parents are protective of their children. They don't, and as they get older, they don't want them to go into an environment where they're going to feel overwhelmed. They want them to get the attention that they deserve. And everyone knows that a child who is struggling with reading or math can thrive in Montessori as well as in any other program while they're learning to feel good about themselves and they're learning social and emotional development. So how about this one? Montessori is affiliated with the Catholic Church. Now, Maria Montessori herself was Catholic. However, her programs are spiritual. They're not religious. Spiritual in the sense of, oh, wow, you know, learning is a gift, not a chore. Learning is a privilege, not a chore. The world around me is abundant and magical, and I want to go explore it. And that's kind of how we approach education with young children in Montessori. So it is very spiritual, but there is no religion affiliated with the program at all. So Montessori, and I love this one. In Montessori classrooms, children run around and do whatever they want, which is completely not true. So when you observe a Montessori school, you will see that children will be moving about and doing different things and working together in small groups or maybe working independently. And there's science going on and there's sensorial work going on in practical life or with their older, higher level math or mat work, somebody working with maps. And what's happening is every teacher assesses each child when they enter the environment, and they only have to do that once because they have the child for 3 to 4 years, and then decide where they're going to start that child in terms of all of the curriculum areas in the beginning lessons, math, language, geometry, science, geometry, history, that's elementary. In preschool, it's the same, but the curriculum is a little bit different. Language, math, sensorial, practical life, cultural work. So we assess where the children are, and then we move them about through each lesson in every subject area. As the children get older, they receive the lessons in small groups. When the children are younger, they receive it mostly on a one-on-one basis. And so what happens is they receive these lessons, and children have a natural inclination to want to practice something until they feel like they've mastered it. And it's the expectation of the classroom. You've had a lesson on the geometric solids, you've had a lesson on North America, and you've had a lesson on the stamp game. You are expected to do that follow-up work and practice it. And so that's what the children are doing. And they're all practicing different things because they've had lessons on different things because they're different people and their needs are different. So they are not running around doing whatever they want. They're doing follow-up work from the lessons that they've received, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, on the flip side, you'll hear the myth, Montessori teachers are too structured. Montessori classrooms are too structured. So on the one hand, people are saying that children are running around doing whatever they want. On the other hand, they're saying that Montessori programs are too structured, and that's not true either. There is a different type of structure in a Montessori program, different from what you would see in a traditional model or in a public school. And it is designed to foster a love of learning, to help children feel capable and valuable. And to help them on their academic curriculum mastery journey. And too structured, I think also comes from the sense that we in Montessori do not expose young children under the age of 6 to much, very much fantasy, because it is our belief that children at that age need a lot of consistency, routine, and order, and also everything that is real, exposing them to real art, exposing them to the stories of real people, exposing them to the stories of, you know, real landforms and waterforms and places in the world that are fabulous and amazing, because they can take that in and love that just as much as they would a cartoon or a fantasy or Pokemon, for example. So we are firm believers that until they're 6, they have a hard time. I won't say can't, but they have a hard time differentiating between what is real and what is not real, fantasy and reality. So we keep it in the reality. Well, yeah, they do play and they're very creative. Because they have an art area where they're given lessons on how to use the art tools and art history and the different media that's available. And so they're creative with all of that based on what they're learning about the world that is real. And so on the playground, you may see them playing fireman or policeman or animals of Africa. But you may not see them playing Pokemon games and things that are rooted in fantasy. So it does not mean that they're not creative and that we don't foster creativity. And the classrooms are not too structured. They're structured to meet the needs of the children. All right. How about a Montessori classroom is too unstructured for my child? And so again, that goes back to it's structured in a very different way. So every child has a work plan, so to speak. As they get older, they actually keep a written work plan where they record their lessons, the date they received the lesson, and when the follow-up work is due. And when they're younger, you know, they're given a little bit, some children are given more guidance than others. If they're having a hard time choosing work or they're choosing the same piece of work every time, a teacher or an adult in the room might suggest or actually be a little bit more direct in terms of saying, hey, you know, I know you love geometry and you've done the constructive triangle boxes every day this week, and let's do some language and math. Would you like to choose or would you like me to choose? So there's definitely a way of assessing who needs a little bit more guidance and oversight and who doesn't, and then making sure that they have the structure that they need to be successful. All right. I addressed creativity and play. And kids can't be kids in Montessori. I don't understand that. I feel like it's an environment that's actually designed to meet the needs of the children so that we are respecting their potential and their intellect. They come into the classroom, they choose their work based on lessons that they've had. They choose who they want to work with. They choose when they want to do it. So they're developing all of these critical thinking skills. They're also developing conflict resolution skills because they're in a community where they're not asked to sit in one place and be quiet. So they are going to get in tiffs and they're going to have issues with each other. And then the adults are going to help them navigate that and help them learn how to be solution-oriented problem solvers. So they are definitely allowed to be children. And I think even in the infant classes, for example, the teachers are trained when they get their 0 to 3 training to understand human development at every, you know, physically, socially, emotionally, and intellectually from the time the baby is in utero. So you'll see how intentional the environments are. You look in the environment and there are mats on the floor and mirrors. So the child can start to self-identify. There are mobiles for different ages that have different purposes. You don't see them restrained in any kind of crib or any kind of playpen or walker because we honor the child's need for movement from a very young age, okay? And we're always talking to them and we're sports casting and we're telling them what's going on and what we're doing. We're not using baby talk and we're not entertaining them. We're engaging with them. So I think that that's the difference that you'll see in Montessori from the time the children are babies all the way through middle school. We honor them, we respect them, and we engage with them. So we don't put them in environments where they're entertained all the time. And that doesn't help them develop an internal locus of control or to be a self-starter, to self-initiate. So they are definitely, children are children in Montessori, and they're honored and respected for the wonderful people that we know they will potentially, adults that they will potentially be, if they're in an environment where a love of learning is fostered and their potential is honored. All right, so there are many famous Americans, or famous people, I'm sorry, that grew up in Montessori and went to Montessori schools. So Anne Frank, Jeff Bezos, Sergey Brin and Larry Page were Google friends. Sean Combs, Hugh Grant, who's an actor, George Clooney, and Helen Hunt. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, actually, and Beyonce. And so what happens is in Montessori schools, because of the way the environments are designed, the children develop an entrepreneurial thought about the world and how can they participate in the world in a meaningful way through an internal locus of control. All right. So that myth about if Montessori is so great, why aren't former students better known? Well, they are. There are plenty of famous people that went to Montessori schools who think outside the box and think about the world in a way of what can I do to make it better or to streamline things or to help people be more efficient. They're always thinking and they're always creating and they're always doing. And they do it in part because they've been fostered. A love of learning has been fostered in each and every one of them. All right, so I hope that this was helpful. These myths are not true. For more information, I will steer you to the Montessori Foundation. Tim Selden has written a periodical. It's called Montessori 101, and it has great information about Montessori from toddler all the way through middle school in terms of the philosophy, the methodology, and the program and the curriculum. It also has information on these myths, so you can read up on it and review. So as you're just deciding where your child's going to go to school, and you hear some of these things about Montessori that are very concerning, you might want to Google it or reach out to somebody like me, because it may be one of those Montessori myths. And somebody like me who's been in Montessori for 35 years can tell you what's actually happening. All right, so it was great to be with you all again. I hope you enjoyed, and tomorrow we'll be talking about some really fun things. I'm writing a book, making a classroom material, making a classroom board game to help children identify what's going on with their friends when they're behaving in ways that are unpleasant, challenging, and causing pain, hurt, irritation, frustration, so on and so forth. All right. Have a wonderful evening, and I will see you again tomorrow.